Do you get it? They are two different things, totally different things. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. You are going to think, meditate in that book day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, listen. This is God speaking and telling the servant that is taken over from Moses that the Bible must not depart from his mouth, but he should meditate day and night in it. So if God is advising somebody to read the Bible, why would you not want to read the Bible and think about it day and night? Now, this one is not a prophet's advice. It's God. And the Lord said to Joshua, it's God himself by his spirit speaking to Joshua that you must read the Bible. So if I'm saying you should read the Bible, am I saying something? God, when he came to advise somebody that he's going to work for him, he said the person must read the Bible. So how come you are going to live for Christ and reading the Bible will not be your priority? Are you here with me? Now, if you do these two things, you pray, you read the Bible. Of course, when you are praying, you must hear the Bible being spoken about, or the Bible being spoken of. But you must pray with preaching. Because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So these three things, praying, reading the Bible, reading Christian books not Christian books that have stories, Christian books that are talking about Bible verses. They are Christian books that are just explaining the Bible verses. Not Christian books that somebody has written their story and have used Bible verses like those things that they sprinkle. No, the one that is normally in the wood, then they sprinkle it, it's like salt or pepper, black pepper type of, they sprinkled a few Bible verses on, no. Get books that actually take the Bible verses and talk about it. That is what will make the Bible come alive to you. Yeah. If you can do these things, you will see yourself how you can comfortably live for Christ. That is when the truth or the revelations that you see, that is when your eyes will be open and you will see the lies in so many things of this life, and then they will lose their power over you. But you see, most of us, our lives is full of so many things that we are not willing to let go to make space. Now that we have, even when we have received new revelation of what to do. So what happens is that we talk about prayer, but we don't pray. Because your life is too full. You must let go of some of the things to create space. Remembering that somebody has given you their life and you are using it to pay your school fees, to buy clothes, and to save some for Lobola and other things. Somebody has given you their life and you are not faithful with it to use it for them. Who is going to give you your own life? The verse is there, it's staring you in the face. Luke chapter 16. Is it 16 or 17? Yeah. If you have not been faithful in that which is someone's, who is going to give you your own? You see, most of us, we feel that God owes us something. Especially when we get born again and we give offering. Look. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe you anything. Get that mind out of you. I said, God doesn't owe you anything. I said, God doesn't owe you anything. Do you accept it? Are you sure? Do you believe it that God doesn't owe you anything? Yeah, so stop that thing that, yeah, God owes me. You know, I've been going to church and you see he should, I mean, a lot of people don't go to church. Listen, going to church doesn't do anything for God. Because even demons go to church. Mark chapter 1, I think verse 40 something. And there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit that shouted, "Thou son of David, what shall we do? What have we to do with you? Have you come to cast us out before it's our time?" Mark chapter 1 verse 40 something. And there came... When he went into the synagogue, and there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Oh, it's not Mark chapter 1. It should be Mark. It was very early when he went to church, no, after the when he came in the power and he was given. It's Mark chapter 1. I know it was very early. I said, hey, the demons have spotted him quite early. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit is not afraid of church. They go to church. So if you are coming to church and you are saying that God is blessed for you to be coming to church, even demons go to church. This unclean spirit was not on the street. He was in church. And there was in their synagogue. Synagogue. That time, that is the name of church for the time when Jesus came. A man with an unclean spirit. And even the priest didn't know Jesus, but the demons know Jesus. When the priest couldn't identify Jesus, the demons knew him. And he cried out and said, 24, "Thou saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Demons were in church describing who Jesus is, when pastors don't know who Jesus is. Yeah. So let's stop this nonsense of thinking that God owes us something because we come to church. No, God doesn't owe us anything. Keeping the commandments of God does not qualify you for any reward in heaven. The commandments of God are just for your own safety. Against demons. But that you have kept a commandment does not give you reward in heaven. You don't get reward in heaven for praying for yourself. Yes, because up until now, all your prayer life has been about you. Oh, who else have you been praying for? apart from your mother, your brother, your sister, yourself, who else have you been praying for? Who? Your pastor. Okay, at least. That's it. But you pray for him because you like him. The day you don't, the day he rebukes you, you stop praying for him. You see, that is why Jesus advised the young ruler who came to him when he said, "Good master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good save God. And he said, anyway, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt. And the man said, from a child, I've been keeping the commandments. Then Jesus said, you lack one thing. One thing thou lackest. I think in Luke chapter 18. One thing that thou lackest. Go and sell thy possessions and give them to the poor. Then thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Up until now, keeping the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, has given the man no treasure in heaven. It is giving to the poor that was going to give him treasure in heaven. Because when you give to the poor, you lend to God. So it's like the guy had money, but he didn't do anything with the money that was going to give him treasure in heaven. He prided himself on, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. You don't do this, it's for your own good. It doesn't, you have not worked. Not doing those things doesn't, it, you have not done anything to qualify you for any blessing. Hallelujah. So stop. You see, Satan is good at what he does. He says, no, you just go to church. It's okay to go to church. God will bless you. Going to church is not going to cause you to be blessed by God. I'm sorry to say it. It's not going to cause you to be blessed by God. In fact, going to church and doing nothing in church is actually going to easily get you a knock. Because you see, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and therefore receiving his new life and sitting on his new life and do nothing with it, you will be like the one with one talent who did nothing. Because you see, that new life that is given to you by Christ through your faith in him, which is even the grace of God, opens the door for the Holy Spirit to work in that new life, to be a blessing unto other people. So if you don't do anything with a new life, you are like the one who got the one talent and kept it. You see, you'll be reading it and say, Mia, I don't have any talent. You don't have any, you have a new life. What have you done with a new life that Christ gave to you? I said, what have you done with the new life that Christ gave to you? You got it and sat on it. And just be coming to church and pacifying yourself. As for me, I'm just coming to church. Some of you who think you are coming to church. I mean, pastor, I'm angry. I won't go to church again. Don't come. Be there. Be there. Be there. The church is giving you an opportunity to use the new life. Yeah. To use the new life. So that then you can now have reward in heaven. Jesus told him, so that you have treasure in heaven. Because that's what you... He said, yet lackest thou one thing. You are treasureless. You want eternal life. But you are treasureless in heaven. treasureless in heaven. And it doesn't bother you because we are so earthly minded. We are so self-centered. It's all about us. Even though we have been given a new life that is not for us, we are so self-centered that we are still using it for us. And there's no space for prayer. Yeah, you know, I have to sleep early because, you know, tomorrow morning I have to be at work by 7. And you have to be at work by 7. Keep on going to work. You are born again. You are born again. Keep on going to work at 7. You see, but what happens is that if you understand this, you will force yourself to wake up early. Do you get it? To equip yourself. And then when you come back, or on your way, every opportunity that is presented to you to live for Jesus, you will do it. Yeah. Yeah. And please, let me say it in a very simple way. Living for Jesus means getting people born again. Because Paul said how that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, that through us many might be reconciled unto God. For we are ambassadors of Christ. Listen, if your life is not leading to people being born again, you are not living for Christ. Because when Jesus was being criticized while he was eating in Zacchaeus' house, he explained that those that are well don't need physicians, but those that are sick. And he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So if seeking and saving that which is lost is not your life, then you are not living for Jesus. You are living for something else, but not for Jesus. Because Jesus, when they said, who are you not eating? They say, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Say not, the harvest is yet in 3 months. Lift up your eyes, for the harvest is ready. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. Then he said, hearing the saying fulfilled, I send you to reap in a place where you have bestowed no labor. Another man labored, and you are entered into their harvest. Are you with me? Yeah. Let's get it right. If you be honest, to live for Jesus is to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. Seeking and saving the lost is what heaven is happy about. In the whole of Luke chapter 15, Jesus spoke a parable. He said 3 different things. A woman, a person whose sheep is lost, a person whose coin is lost, and then he gave the parable of the 2 sons. The rejoicing by the people who found their sheep brought joy in heaven. Heaven was happy. So it is for the angels who stand in the presence of God when one sinner repents. Luke chapter 15, I think verse 7 and other verses. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Not over the righteous, over one sinner that repents. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You're coming to church. If it is not leading to sinners repenting by you bringing sinners into the church so that they repent, your coming to church does not bring joy to heaven. Because the Bible says it's more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Because once you have repented, you brought joy to heaven. But after that, that's it. Your coming to church does not bring joy to heaven. You see, if our gatherings does not lead to souls being saved, then it is a useless gathering. Because heaven is not happy with us. I said, heaven is not happy with us. Yeah. Don't believe all these funny things. You see, the preachers, we can say all we want to say. If God is not what God is saying, he won't mind us. You see, God is not, he doesn't feel constrained because we have made promises which he has not made. So if I come and I see God is going to lift you up, God is going to bless you. But if God has not, if I didn't say what God has not said, he will not be moved because I said, the way that our servant is saying God is going to bless you. If we don't do anything, it's not good. So let's force ourselves to do something. No. They will mind you. Heaven will not mind me. No matter how loud I shout, no matter how much I sweat, no matter how much oil I pour on you, if whatever I do is not what heaven wants, forget it. And you see, this is a story told by Jesus. This is not a story told by anybody. It's a red letter. It's a red letter. If your Bible is a red letter, you see it's a red letter. It says, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And how are we going to have people to repent if we don't go and bring them? If we don't go and witness to them, or at least the least we can do is to bring them in our midst so that the power of God will lead them to salvation. Of course, it will not bother us if we are living for ourselves. But if we are living for Christ, nothing will stop us from going out to bring people to church to be born again. When was the last time you brought somebody? When was the last time when you started Monday, you were arguing with God that, Lord, the last time I asked you for 5 souls, you gave me only 2. This time around, Lord, I'm not going to take anything less. I want 5 or don't give me anything. When was the last time you prayed like that? Have you ever prayed like that before? Lord, give me souls or don't bless me. No. Lord, listen, you bless me and we'll see whether you give me souls. Even if you don't give me souls, at least it's okay, you bless me. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Lord, my mother. Lord, my father. Lord, my school fees. Lord, I need an iPad. Lord, I need money for hair. Lord, I need money for airtime. Isn't it? No, you see, the reason why these are the topics that you pray about is because you don't have his word in you. So when he's speaking, you don't hear him. You see, if you don't read your Bible, when God speaks, you won't hear. And when he sends his servants to speak, you will not hear. One day, Bishop was preaching. As I look at the people sitting there, the Holy Spirit told me, these people don't hear what the man is preaching because they don't read their Bible. Look, when you read your Bible, any true servant of God, when he starts to speak, you begin to hear God speaking to you. John chapter 5. What's the verse? John 5. Something. What's the verse? John 5. Is it 19 or something? You have not. You hear me because you have not his word abide in you. I think it's John 5:19 or something. No, the 5:19 is said the scriptures. You think in them. This one is 30 something. 38 or so. John 5:38 or something. The 5:19 is you said the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Good, good. 38, yeah. Verse 37, let's see what 37 say. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye neither have heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Verse 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. The reason why you don't believe the things that are spoken by God through his servants is because his word is not in you. Yeah. If having to read 5 to 10 chapters a day is a problem, how much of his word is then can it be in you so that when it's being spoken, you will know that God is speaking? Because you read half a verse in 1 week. Because the one you read, you don't finish it because you were answering WhatsApp. Is it not true? Yeah. I mean, some of us, we can go even 1 week. No Bible, it's not a problem. We don't feel sick. We are very well. Oh, am I saying something wrong? The CD. Or maybe here, you guys read your Bible. Maybe I'm speaking to the wrong people. The people who don't read their Bible, they didn't come, eh? If they had come, they would have heard what I'm saying. Come again. They are here. Are you sure they are here? Yes. Oh, really? Are they here? Yes. Ah, I thought they didn't come. We have to change. What does the New Living Translation say of John 5:38?
It says, and you do not have his message in your heart, because you do not believe in me, the one he sent to you.
What is making you not to believe his messenger is because you have not his message in you. I tell you, for me, it was a revelation. As Bishop was preaching, talking, then the Holy Spirit told me that people can't hear him because they don't read their Bible. You see, if you read your Bible and somebody stands and is preaching the Bible, you can't sit comfortably. Because as he's preaching, you'll be hearing. It's like you'll be having revelations. Okay, this is what it means. I have to do this. You'll be hearing God. But when you don't read your Bible, God is going to... And then you start sleeping because you have not his word in you. Listen, what time is it? Is it 10 already? Yeah. Do we have sacrifice? We don't have sacrifice. Wow. Because that's what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit. And that is to do what must be done. You must accept to deny yourself. You must accept to lose. You must accept to suffer. And you must allow things to die. Yeah. Without, you see, what it is that you have unlawful tenants occupying the time spaces of your life. And they prevent you from doing what you have to do. You see, like, as I've spoken now, if you start reading your Bible, you would agree with me. If you start reading, but to read your Bible, it means you need to create space. And to create space, certain tenants must be evicted. In Ghana, one of the ways by which people move you out of their house is they tell you that my son is coming from overseas. So you have to move. Because what it is that the rent is not paid monthly. It's paid sometimes 2 yearly in advance. Yeah, yeah. So what happens is that, let's say the person rented the house to you 2 years ago and you've paid 2 years advance. The currency devalues so much that what you paid 2 years ago and now is small. But because you gave it in advance, they could do something because you gave it all together. So let's say if it's 4,000 rands a month, you pay 4,000 rands for 2 years in advance. So after 2 years, instead of telling you now to pay another advance, sometimes they want to increase the rent from 4,000 rands to about 6,000. But they know that you know how much it was from 4,000. They can't increase it to 6,000. So they will rather get a new tenant. So they will tell you, my son is coming from abroad or my daughter is coming. So you have to move out. So it's like, everybody knows the language. Do you get it? So some things you have to tell them in your life that the word of God is coming. So you better go out. Eviction order. Yeah, unless you are willing to do that, you have no space to read the word. So you will hear, you must read the word, powerful, but that's where it ends. Some of you have to solicit the help of one another, friends, where instead of going to gossip, you go to sit down that here, we are here for the next 1 hour. We are reading 6 chapters of the book of Luke. We don't need any revelation. Just we are all sitting down to read. You read, I read, you are reading. Everybody's reading privately. When we finish, that's it. At least we've made sure that we are reading. Because when I'm alone reading, before you realize I'm answering texts and things. But when we are sitting down, everybody's watching us. Just as the way we go for studies together. If you go to boarding school, we go to studies in a group. Listen, you have to employ all necessary means to be able to do what you need to do to live for Jesus. Because if you don't live for Jesus, remember, the cup, Jesus, is waiting for you. And unfortunately, you see, that's the thing. There's no other way. There's no other way. You either read the word, you either spend time in prayer, or you will not never live for Jesus. You will never live for Jesus. Because the source of your power, the source of your strength is in the word and in your prayer life, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make you live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit will make you live for Jesus. That is when everybody you see, you are checking, is he born again or not born again? And the Spirit will tell you, go and talk to the person. Initially, you'll start, you'll be afraid, but gradually you'll be bold. Say, are you born again? You must be born again. You start talking to everybody you meet. Ask the Spirit, that's your source of power and your source of boldness and strength and power to, for people to change is the Holy Spirit. But if we don't spend time to be with the Holy Spirit, it's too bad. Look, the holidays is not time to be going home and the home, they're always with you. You're always with them. You see them. In fact, now when you go home, the demons even want to attack you. But if you build yourself in your most holy faith through prayer, when you go home, the demons will be running away. They'll take cover. They'll say, Charlie, the guy is coming. Let's get out of here before we get into trouble. Yeah. They'll start telling you that, since you came home, now we can't sleep. They say, yeah, the demons knew I was coming. Because they knew who is coming. And now when you go home, even you yourself, you can't sleep. You sleep better when you are away. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So you have to create things. You have to force yourself. Sometimes instead of being on WhatsApp chatting, you should do video call. Yeah, Baba, yeah, Baba, we are praying. I'm watching you. Don't sleep. Hey, wake up. Shikatabaya. Yeah. You just buy rush hour data. It's a lot. Yes. So yeah, if you're praying, watch video call. I'm watching you. Don't sleep. Because sometimes people, you know, this WhatsApp group thing that they say we are praying, then they do this sign. And then people say they are checking in. Most people, they check in to sleep. Say we are praying. What prayer chain? WhatsApp prayer. So, if I can't see you praying, as far as I'm concerned, you are not praying. So, if you want to pray via WhatsApp, then let me see you pacing up and down. Then I can also be forced to pace up and down because, if you are watching me and I'm watching you, nobody can sit down. Hey, you have. It looks like you are sleeping. Get up. Yeah. Some of you do WhatsApp calls for over 1 hour. Maybe I'm saying something wrong. No, what I'm saying is, it looks like the people I'm speaking to didn't come. Yeah, so say that it's you I'm talking to. Say, acknowledge the message. Yeah. Are you with me? So listen, all these things, you must employ them because Satan is also employing them to defeat you. So you must employ them to defeat him. You see, once upon a time, as a Christian, we will wake up 4 a.m. to go for prayer meeting till 6 before we go to school. It's don't prayer meeting. Sometimes you are half asleep, but you go. Now you will tell me that, you see, it's dangerous. Is this okay? It's dangerous. Is this? What's a prayer meeting? We are praying. I'm seeing you. You are seeing me. We are together. There's no cheating here. Hallelujah. Amen. And whether I was what to pray or I prayed by myself, at least I prayed. As I do it, yeah. And you must, you know, some of you who are into relationship, my church, we call it beloved, but other people call it boyfriend, girlfriend. Instead of always going to the shopping mall, you should go to prayer parks and pray. And pray. Have personal fasting to develop your prayer life. You see, it looks strange. But if you say you are living for Jesus, how can prayer be strange? When Jesus prayed all night, a great while before day, and sometimes he prayed for so long, different times. How can it be that if Jesus prayed, then how about you? Why is prayer a problem for you? And if Jesus needed to pray, what makes you think you don't need to pray? Are you with me? Yeah, we have to. If we are going to live for Jesus, we have to get the foundation right. Yes. Because Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed. Jesus used the word. And we have to invest into it. So don't tell me that, you know, Pastor, my life is busy. If your life is busy, then you are either not born again or you are a thief. Yes, a thief in the sense that you have received Jesus Christ's new life, but you are using it for yourself. And they will catch you. Oh, yeah. You can be here for a long time, but Jesus knows he will get you. He will get you. You may have gotten away with so many wrong things, but as for this one, Jesus will get you. And death, he knows that death will always come. That's why he left death as the last enemy. To arrest the people that must be arrested to his court. Yeah. Jesus is in heaven. He can't come here. No problem. Death will make you go to heaven. Yeah. God is wise, so that's why death is the last enemy that will be defeated. Because he has to use the enemy to bring home his thieves and his faithful ones. Death is the cup on earth. Jesus is the cup in heaven. Hallelujah. Great. I want us to rise to our feet. So listen, this book, Losing... how come I don't have a copy at all? No, it's okay. This one is a new one. Don't open it. Where's my one that I used? It was not brought. The book Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. It's a book you must read through and through to help you to accept some of the things that you need to accept. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because once you accept it, that there's no way out. When you are doing it, you know that I'm not doing anything wrong. This is the only way out. Yeah. Pray that God will give you the personal revelation of what it means to live for Jesus and to understand that the life, the new life that you have is not yours, it's for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Jesus is just renting your boat. Are you with me? Yeah. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Moki baraba shikalaba shindiri babo. Oh, runduri shindiri akiri baba sandari. Irabalanduri ababandiri babo.
Mokere bando, koruma shikere bando, mikala manda de mabalun, ribabana de mamashanda, riababa, barando riababande ribabo sikalando, yende ribabalo mama sikalondo, koruma shikara mama, makara barando, riababande ribabo. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makoro shikere banda indari ababa sabolondo riababando baborondo braba banda ribabando mabro kibanda kibaba yababande makara balabashundo riababando birondo riabende rimamande ribabo mokalanda riababande ribaba sakalando yekoro mashikere banda riababa mabriyo koro mashikere babanda Imanderi abosinderi babosi kalababa Brayanda hamasaka labanderi ababan Deri babanderi anderi babosi kalamama Kabaya bosinderi ababanderi ababa Yanderi babosinderi babakadama kasanduri ababa Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shindiri babo sabro ki bolondo. Kubaranda hamasika ya bokolo mashikele baba. Mikala baba ya babanderi mama saboro mo. Mombori ya babanderi babo sinderi baba. Kibala banderi ya babanderi ya babanderi mama. Yanderi babolo sinderi babolo mama. Makata bala baba ya baba. Baru shunduri ya baba Mikala baba nderi babo Moru mikata boki bori ya baba Thank you Holy Spirit Thank you Holy Spirit Thank you Holy Spirit Thank you Jesus Thank you Jesus Thank you Lord Thank you Thank you Thank you Father we thank you for tonight And we thank you for the privilege of your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, touch us, lift us up, show us ways, give us the grace and the strength to do what we need to do, that we may know you in person, that you commune with us, that you contribute and participate in this life which belongs to Jesus. May we surrender it completely to him. May we never be accounted as unfaithful, but may we be accounted as faithful with that which belongs to someone else. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. As we make every effort to read the word, Lord, grant us the grace and the supernatural ability to do it. And as we commune with you, Holy Spirit, may we hear you clearer and clearer and energize, empower us, give us the boldness to be witnesses. For the Lord Jesus. For this is what he came for. To seek and to seek that which was lost. And this is what makes heaven happy. That one sinner repents. Let our lives be a testimony of seeking and saving the lost. And the repentance of sinners for the joy of heaven. We thank you, Holy Father. Give us grace for tomorrow. Speak to us. Show us. Direct us. And help us. To be faithful stewards of the life you have given to us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, please be seated. Let's welcome Pastor Pascal.